I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Welcome to the 100 Year Podcast, the show dedicated to personal financial engineering. I am your host, Gino Barbaro, and I'm joined today by Teresa Kuhn, a financial educator, best-selling author, and wealth strategist. For over 20 years, she has been passionate about ensuring her real estate clients have the tools and customized strategies they need to survive an ever-changing marketplace. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Hello, Gino. How are you?
Well, we had a little problem getting on this call, and one of your strengths is definitely not technology, and it's not my strength either. But what our strengths are long-termism and creating long-term wealth. So let's take a dive into how did this thought process come into you, long-termism, thinking for the long future?
Well, I'll tell you, Gino, I think part of it was I was wired this way, and my mom was absolutely wired this way. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking really young, if I do something, there's going to be a consequence, but it's not just the first order consequence. It was like the second, third, fourth, fifth order consequence. And I think, you know, it was probably part of my like Catholic school guilt. Like, you know, what's going to happen if I like wear the wrong sock today to schools? And, you know, so I think it was kind of wired into me, probably fear, guilt, my mother, and I was wired to think so long-term. What about
let me
you?
Ask you, a lot of people out there may struggle with this. What do you have any tips on how they can start adopting this type of long-term mindset? Because for me, everything that I've done that I've been successful, for instance, I'm taking opera lessons. I'm not going to be Luciano Pavarotti in 3 or 6 months. It's going to take time and effort. And I need to know that, a cadence of accountability. But what would you tell the listeners? How can you start adopting this long-term mindset? Or what kind of hacks do you have to say, it's going to take a long time. How do I invest in my future?
Well, I think first of all, you've got to want it and you've got to be in pain. You know, I think pain is a great motivator. And how are people in pain when it comes to finances or relationships or, you know, whatever rut they're in? You know, learning, mastering is not short term. Like you just mentioned, you know, being an opera singer, it's not short term. You know, very, very few people wake up and have an amazing voice. Right? It doesn't happen. You need training, you need time, you need practice, you need to think, gosh, I'm here today. And I want to be this much better in the future. So you've got to have that pain of not really being satisfied with where you are first. And then thinking, okay, if I don't change what I'm doing or how I'm thinking, I'm going to be back in this rut again. So how can I have a future that compels me to want something and do something different? And, you know, Simon Sinek says, start with why, right? So, but what is that compelling future that you want to create? What does that look like? People say you need a vision. Without, you know, vision, my people will perish, right? I mean, that's going back to, you know, the Bible. What do you want to create that's going to compel you to get out of your rut to think long-term?
I like that. I was on a call last night with the Jake and Gino community. And one of the students, we were talking about goal setting. It was actually a Toastmasters call. And we were talking about goal setting. And one of the students relayed a story. He said, if you're looking and you're walking and there's a horizon and you're looking that far out and you start walking towards the horizon, taking steps towards the horizon, you may go 400 yards towards the horizon, but you're still looking at the horizon and it doesn't seem you made any kind of advance or any you've gotten anywhere. But all he said is take a look back and you'll see that you've already gone 400 yards. So I think sometimes for long-termism to take hold is it may take a long time. Don't be attached to the timeline, be attached to the outcome, number one. And I think number two, celebrate the successes because it's going to take a long time. Those 400 yards were very difficult to walk, to start walking towards the horizon, and don't discount that. Don't always be looking out so far that you forget about what you've accomplished. And I think enjoy the journey. With long-termism, I think with you and myself, Teresa, sometimes we get caught up thinking too long-term. Let's think shorter term when we're having great successes and celebrate those and enjoy those and have that proximity with others that have that mindset. That's why we do these podcasts, because we want to celebrate our wins, but we also want to make sure that other people hear about this kind of message, because it's not really talked about often and it's not a sexy message. Wealth creation isn't sexy. It's supposed to be boring. It's supposed to take a while. You're supposed to master these things. But everyone out there, picture yourself walking towards your horizon, towards your goals, and they're really far away. Take a look back and see how far you've come. Sometimes we need to have that assessment to say, wow, we've come a long way from where we started.
So well said. And there's so much I can add to that. You know, as far as the journey is concerned, the most successful people think in terms of decades. Mm-hmm. The least successful people think about overnight success, get rich quick. How can I get what I want as quickly as possible? And that's in every area of life, not just wealth creation, relationships and, you know, money or jobs or careers or school or, you know, whatever. Get rich quick. I want it now. And society, culture has programmed us that if we don't get a text, like if you sent me a text right now and I didn't get it, what am I going to be doing to my phone? I'm going to be like, hey, Gina, where's that text? I haven't seen it, right? It's immediate gratification. You've got to swim against the current in your thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to do that is to surround yourself with people that think long-term. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that I've had in my life, I can tell you, you know, you are the average of the five people you hang out with. The people I hang out with are not get rich quick people. Mm-hmm. I have partnerships and joint ventures with people for decades. I have very, very long-term relationships and people that are looking to build a legacy, build a business, build something that is enduring and endearing, and it's there for the long term. Mm-hmm. There's so many sayings that I love, but you know, there's one called cathedral thinking. It's not a phrase that you hear very often, and I am in love with that phrase. Why? Gino, what comes up for you when I say the word cathedral?
Well, for me, cathedral, they take hundreds of years to build. And your generation may not even see it. The next generation may enjoy it. But the idea, the process of laying brick by brick and creating something, there's the magic. And it may not, ultimately, you may not see it. Disney, Walt Disney, he didn't see Epcot open and all that. His brother saw it, but he had the vision and he already saw it in his mind. So that's the vision that conjures in my mind.
When I hear the word cathedral, I think magnificent. Mm-hmm. I think structure. I think a building that lasts for hundreds and hundreds of years. I see beauty. I see almost like speechless, right? Just sitting in awe in a space that is just absolutely and completely stunning and awe-inspiring. And so those people that built cathedrals, think about their thinking. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to see the fruit of their labor in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you said maybe it took one generation. There's some cathedrals that took 100 years to build, mm-hmm. but they're still standing today. You can go visit them. They were so thoughtful in their thinking that they chose materials to build those cathedrals to make sure that those materials would be around when there needed to be renovations. Mm-hmm. So if each one of us thought about every area of our lives from that place of long-term thinking, cathedral thinking, decade, thinking about building something in a decade and what your life can look like in 10 years, I think every aspect of our life would shift for the better.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm going to share a couple experiences with you of someone trying to get rich quick or even get their itis. And as I'm sharing my stories, I want you to think of either one of your stories personally or one of your clients. For me, it's really easy. All I need to do is look at my life. Back in 2005, I had a little extra money in the bank working at the restaurant. And someone comes over and says, hey, you want to rest in this real estate deal? Now, the real estate deal wasn't good or bad in and of itself. I just didn't have a plan. I didn't have the long-termism. I had money. I looked at an opportunity. Invested the money in opportunity. What I should have done is I had the money. I should have invested in my education. Then I would have known if the opportunity was good. Short-term thinking. And it took me a couple of times to make that mistake. A year later, I bought another deal in real estate. It was commercial. It was mixed use. Didn't know anything about commercial leases. That prompted me to ultimately say, time out. I need to step back. I need to go get educated. I need to spend money on my education, find the mentors, because success leaves clues. I started learning about multifamily back in 2008, 2009, which is when I met Jake. Then we started buying deals in 2011 and 2012. So it took a couple of years. That short-termism will cost you dearly. It will cost you time. It will cost you money. And then ultimately what it does to a lot of people, I mean, I had enough resolve and I was old enough to say, hey, time out. I've made mistakes here. How do I learn from these mistakes? Real estate's not risky. I'm the one who's risky. I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't understand what a partnership was. I didn't know what a syndication was. I didn't know how to analyze a mobile home park deal. The average person would have said, it's too risky. I'm quitting. I'm giving up. That's what short-termism ultimately does for you. When you have that fixed mindset and not the growth mindset, that short-termism is going to give you the fixed mindset. And ultimately, I had the growth mindset because, as Teresa said earlier, I had enough pain in my life. I wasn't good and I wasn't great. I was bad. I was not in a bad place, but just financially not in a great place. And that is what motivated me to say, I'm doing something wrong here. What do I need to do? And I sought out my mentors. I learned. It took a while for me to learn. And then I fixated on a certain asset, which was multifamily. And to this day, our businesses are surrounded by that asset. We are multifaceting it. I am not in crypto. I am not in stocks. I am in that avenue. So you're listening to a person who had the short-termism, who lost a lot of money and almost lost the impetus to continue to invest. That's what short-termism can do. It can really get in your head. It can put doubt in yourself. And then all of a sudden you will adopt that fixed mindset because something doesn't work and something is not supposed to work in a week or 2 weeks. It takes time. But then ultimately you start telling yourself, well, if that doesn't work, the next thing doesn't work. So short-termism almost stopped me from getting into real estate. Do you have any specific stories that you can think of that, you know, short-termism pervaded and this is why this is the mistake they made through short-termism?
I've got tons of, you know, I've been in the business that I'm in for over 35 years. So I have, you know, it's working with the public and working with clients and working with other advisors. And so I've got just tons of examples that I can give you. Most people live from a short-term perspective. I'm guilty of the same. I remember when I went to law school, I was a little bit older because I was working for a Wall Street firm in college. And then after college, I thought to myself, gosh, you know, I'm going to be so old when I graduate from law school, right? And I remember, I think it was my mother who told me this. She said, you know, law school takes 3 years and you'll be 26 when you graduate, but you're going to be, unless you die, you're going to be 26 anyways. So you could be 26 with a law degree or you could be 26 without a law degree. And I was like, oh, that's so true, right? That's so true. And so that shifted my thinking. I had such a urgency to start, you know, getting out of law school that I did law school in 2.5 years, actually. And so I wanted it quick. So, you know, type A people, which I am absolutely a type A person. I am a driven manifester. I see something I want, I go out there and I figure out a way of getting it. And I put a lot of energy into it. And it's just how I'm driven, but I do see the horizon and I am a plotter and I am a thinker and I will plant the seeds and I will make those seeds grow. And I'm not looking at a bunch of different things. There is nothing wrong with crypto. There is nothing wrong with investing in Wall Street. There's nothing wrong in real estate. The people, though, that I see that are not successful and not achieving the goals that they want are those that shotgun approach. They've got some crypto. They've got some equities. They've got real estate. In real estate, they're trying all sorts of different things out. They're not mastering anything. They don't have that long-term objective or vision of, you know what, I'm going to be a master at this. I'm going to know this better than anybody else. I'm going to get so bored with learning about X that I'm going to know it inside and out. You know, Gino, I don't know. I'm going to ask you, are you bored with multifamily?
As you get better, you start enjoying it even more, believe it or not, because there's so many more opportunities. And that's a great question. A lot of students that we have right now, they're struggling because there aren't deals. And this is where the get there rightist may get in the way. So for everybody out there, it's a challenging environment right now, but there are other things you can be doing in the business. You can be raising capital. You can be making broker relationships. You can be becoming a better underwriter. You can be sharpening your skills in other facets of it. It's not just getting deals. And that's what happens when people fall off. Then they'll move to another venue and then they'll start making excuses about that one. So there's always challenges in whatever you're doing, but I've never been bored of it because there's always something to learn. There's always something new to learn. There's always another relationship to make. There's always another broker to learn, another property to tour. And I think we need to think about that. That's what ultimately kills, I think, the short-termism and long-termism, is that you just give up, but then you move on to another venture and it's a cycle. It starts all over again.
It does. Every time you take your attention off of mastering something, mm-hmm. you're like taking 10 steps back. Mm-hmm. You know, I chose to master whole life insurance mm-hmm. almost 20 years ago when nobody really had heard about it. And mm-hmm. who was my mentor? Nelson Nash, a forester. Talk mm-hmm. about thinking long-term. Imagine an entire career planting seeds of trees whose shade you will never sit under and probably not make any money off of, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole thinking around forestry. And so he was so instrumental in helping me think and really inform and perfect is the wrong word because I'm not perfect in it, but just really perfect my thinking around long-termism because he was a long-term thinker. Mm-hmm. And that's what attracted him to whole life insurance. And he converted that whole thinking around whole life insurance into a long-term strategy. And I was a student of his. He was my mentor. And back then, oh my gosh, you talk about whole life insurance, you might as well be talking about, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I stayed focused. And what happened with the internet and what happened in the last 10 years with whole life insurance? There's so much information and education out there about whole life insurance. I stuck it out. Mm-hmm. And so I've become, you know, one of the top of my field in whole life insurance because I stuck it out. I mastered it. I knew it better than anybody else. I've worked with so many clients. I get so many referrals. I am niched. My clients know if they're going to refer somebody, I'm the person because they know I'm a specialist. I mean, on and on and on. I can go on and on. You get it. Jake and Gino in the real estate education world, people know you are the mm-hmm. multifamily educator. Mm-hmm. In that space.
I agree. On here, we discuss cadence of accountabilities. Jake and I talk about that. Our cadence of accountability. I think this is something that let's touch on before we sign off, because it's important to us. The cadence of accountability is our weekly calls, our daily huddles in the morning. We have our quarterly priorities. We have our annual outings. We have our Christmas parties, all of those different touch points. And they really help us shape our long-term thinking. And it's really the proximity of people going to all of these different events. Teresa, what do you do? What does your cadence look like? Because I know you're in multiple masterminds, you're doing multiple different events. What do you do to stay locked in? Because sometimes you're reading a newspaper and all of a sudden stock market falls 2000 points. Oh, the short-termism jumps in. But then like I can do, I'll call Jake on the phone. That's my long-termism right there. What are your strategies, your techniques or tips or habits to continue having that long-term mindset?
Well, the number one thing I think is who you hang out with. You are the average of the five people you hang out with, and the mm-hmm. people I hang out with think long-term. And if they don't, it's just not a match. It's not an energetic match. It's not an intellectual match. We are not going down the same road. We are not following parallel paths. It just doesn't work. So that is absolutely number one. And you know what? Burning relationships because there's not a match in terms of energy and values, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard in the beginning. And over time, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a different person. Look who I'm hanging out with. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is absolutely number one. Mm-hmm. Who are you hanging out with? Who are you doing business with? You've got to have rules, right? Rules for investing, rules for your relationships. They become integral after a while. It's just something that you embody. You don't necessarily have them, you know, have to have them written down. But I tell clients all the time, have rules for your life. Have rules for your investing. Mm-hmm. You know what? The stock market goes up, the stock market goes down, real estate goes up and down. If you don't have rules for how to get into a property, how to manage that property, how long you're going to keep that property, you are shooting from the hip and you will have a very messy investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. And that's true for every area of life, mm-hmm. every single area of life. And the other tip I would give is have people that hold you accountable. I have what I call babysitters in my life that hold me accountable to show up and do certain things that I don't really like to do. I call my personal trainer, a babysitter. You know, I've been working out my entire life. Do I know what I need to do? Absolutely. Am I going to show up for myself? No, I know that most of the time I won't unless I know somebody's waiting for me. Mm-hmm. And I've got to pay that person if I don't show up. Mm-hmm. So I've got these professional babysitters, and it's not demeaning. I absolutely love them, and I thank God for them. I thank God that they're in my life to help me and to keep me accountable.
I love
so that. So I've got a whole team of very professional babysitters in my life to keep mm-hmm. me on point.
I like that. So everyone, I think also to piggyback off what Teresa said, she's talking about values. I think you need to have values of for your life, values-based decision-making. And when you're not living with your values, you feel incongruent, make long-termism one of those values. Teresa also talked about chaos. She doesn't want chaos in her life. I think short-termism brings in chaos. You keep making decisions and you keep changing things up. Not having that chaos is will kill any kind of business, flipping from one neck to the next. And I think the last one is the accountability piece. Being held accountable and holding others accountable, making sure that you hold, when you have partnerships, that you're holding each other accountable to it. I mean, that's why we've created the Jake and Gino community. We have the 100-year community as well. That's really, it's really an accountability touch point, and finding those people who are like-minded, who you want to really, you know, ultimately work with. Teresa, last question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from long-termism?
I think 10 years out. And in fact, I'll tell you, I've got a girlfriend who she is thinking out 10 years, and she's very creative. She has a song about who she's going to be when she's 70, right? And so one of my favorite terms that I use with my friends is, who am I going to be? This summer, I had some work that I was doing, personal development growth. And I said, who am I going to be at the end of August? Who am I going to be, Gino, at the end of 10 years? I know exactly how old I'm going to be. I know exactly what my business is going to look like. I know exactly who I'm going to be with in terms of, you know, my family, as much as I can control. Mm-hmm. I know God, for me, plays a huge role in my life. There are things I can't control, but he gave me an imagination for me to create with. And I want to spend my time creating. And I've got an idea of what that's going to feel like, what that's going to look like, where I'm going to be, maybe not the exact address, but what I'm going to wake up and look at, right? 10 years, I can tell you, who am I going to be in 10 years? And what is my life going to look like? Mm-hmm. That's exciting to me. That's compelling. That just energetically pulls you to make really good short-term decisions. And my life is not perfect, far from perfect. And I make a lot of, you know, mistakes and probably decisions that, you know, I look back and say, you know what? That was a learning opportunity. Let's pivot. Let's do something different. But I think, Gino, if we could leave one message for people is, you know, think in terms of 10 years and do your activities in terms of quarters to get you to that 10-year vision. Mm-hmm. I think if people do that, it becomes addicting because they see the results and the peace and the lack of noise, right? That mm-hmm. that people walk around with in their brains because their lives are just chaotic.
Mm-hmm. Two things, everybody, from that. Focus is number one, which is really, really important. And number two, proper planning prevents poor performance. It always does. When you can properly plan, it's not that you're not going to have any road bumps. It's not that you're going to have to be able to pivot, but at least you're planning for your life. Your life is not happening to you. You're happening to your life. And that's really, really important. If you guys want any more information on the 100-year, just go to 100yearrei.com. It's 100yearrei.com, or you can go to thedualassetstrategy.com. It'll take you to the same place. I want to thank you, Teresa, for being on today. Any final words?
No, this is great. Thank you so much. Love
Thanks,
being
everybody.
Here.
Appreciate it.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.